I call Senate Resources Committee to order. Today is April 9th, 2016. We are here in Juneau. The time is 2:58 p.m. Thank you to Nancy and Matt, who are helping us with recording these this meeting and with the audio. We are hearing public testimony on Senate Bill 130. Testimony will be limited, for folks who are listening, to 3 minutes. Please begin by identifying yourself for the record with your name and affiliation. Give us your testimony, and if you would like to submit your testimony in writing, we would be happy to receive that and put it into the public record with the bill. So we'll be starting out here in the Juneau building here, and Margot Waring is signed up to speak. Margot, welcome.
Thank you. I don't have my testimony in writing, and so I'll have to do my best. And clearly this is a bill filled with detail. I'm not going to talk about the detail. I'm going to talk about the bigger picture as I see it, and particularly about our Alaska Constitution, Article 8, Section 2, which is about the use, development, conservation of natural resources of the state for the maximum benefit of the people. And the fact that our elected and appointed officials are temporary custodians of those resources for the benefit not just of today, but the distant future. Because these are public resources, oil and gas, and that they are held for the benefit of the people, I want to support full transparency of all audit and other pieces of information regarding oil and gas affairs of the state, because public accountability has to be more important than anything else. More important than the secrecy of corporate finances, and more important than whatever leeway public officials feel they have in their dealings with these corporations. We have increasingly moved to an era in which we have more and more secrecy, less and less disclosure. And I think that this is ultimately very bad public policy. The other point I wanted to raise was that, having been a long-time worker in Governor Hammond's office, I learned a couple of lessons. And one is about public financing of private corporations. To me, there is really no excuse for oil and gas credits, particularly production credits. They are they contravene that lesson I learned, which is that if a business is not profitable, then it shouldn't be propped up by public expenditure. And that ultimately we have to be dealing with selling our assets at a profit, not at a disguised cost.
Thank you, Margot. If you would wrap up, please.
And then one more thing, which is that we should therefore have tax rates that are at their higher previous rates to maximize the benefit that the Constitution promises us. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. I am going to move around the state to make sure we get a good cross-section of testimony. So I'll start in the Anchorage LIO, where it looks like folks signed up more than half an hour ago. I'll start with Sandra Udelhoven. After Sandra, I'm going to go to the Fairbanks LIO, where Carl Portman is online. So we'll begin with Sandra in Anchorage. Welcome, Sandra. Can you hear us, Sandra?
Yes.
There we go.
Welcome, Madam Chair. I am speaking against House Bill 130. My name is Sandra Udelhoven, and I reside in Wasilla, Alaska. I am against the state of Alaska not keeping their word. We've already committed for the state to pay oil and gas tax credits to corporations. I feel strongly that we're in creating an environment that is hostile to private enterprise. I know that in private enterprise, if we say that we have to pay somebody, we pay them. If we make a commitment to them, we pay them. As the state of Alaska has made these commitments, I would like them to move forward with and to be truthful and honest in our dealings with the oil and gas company. I have not seen so many people laid off due to just the environment, the economy, and because Alaska continues to kind of, our state government continues to change the direction so often, I think that we've created an environment where businesses are just very wary to be here, and I've lived here since the 60s, and I'd really like to see Alaska come out on top of this. I'd like to see us to be continue to have this good relations with oil and gas, and at this time, I'm against House Bill 130. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Sandra. So now we go to the Fairbanks LIO, where Carl Portman is standing by. After Carl is finished, we'll go to the Matsu LIO, where Michael Foster is. Mr. Portman, can you hear us?
Can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear. Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Carl Portman, and I am a lifelong Alaskan raised on a homestead in the interior, and I currently live in Anchorage, and I'm testifying on my own behalf today. Like many other Alaskans, I'm very concerned about our state's fiscal situation. Our economic lifeblood is the Trans-Alaska Oil Pipeline, but it is now running at three-quarters empty. The current oil tax policy has encouraged new industry investment, which has stabilized a long, steep slide in production. In fact, production was up 1% in the past 12 months, the first increase since 2002. I do not support increasing taxes on the oil and gas industry as SB 130 would do. Simply put, Alaska cannot increase oil production by raising taxes, especially considering that North Slope oil now sells for less than it costs to produce. The industry is losing hundreds of millions of dollars annually in this downturn and is being forced to cut jobs and expenses. Any tax increase will have a direct impact on future investment in Alaska and therefore future production. Even at today's low oil prices, most of Alaska's revenues come from the oil industry through various industry taxes and royalties. Clearly, the industry continues to pay the majority of Alaska's bills. It already has skin in the game. In my opinion, the legislature needs to continue to cut state spending to a more affordable level. Despite cuts in recent years, the state's operating budget is still on an unsustainable path. Unrestricted general fund spending has increased 230% in 10 years, while revenues have fallen sharply. In addition, the legislature and the administration need to come to terms on using permanent fund earnings to help fill the fiscal gap. The permanent fund earnings need to be part of the long-term solution. In fact, it's the biggest tool in the box to help solve our fiscal crisis. Even the bond rating agencies have recognized the need for Alaska to begin using permanent fund earnings in a sustainable manner. I recall Governor Jay Hammond's vision for the permanent fund included the eventual use of fund earnings to help pay for essential government services. I believe that day is here. Given low oil prices, low throughput in taps, and the need for new industry investment, I do not support SB 130. Higher taxes on the industry will make matters worse for both the public and private sector. Thank you for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Portman. A mistake I made, Nancy probably caught it, our secretary. I forgot to announce which committee members are present. Vice Chair Costello is here, Senator Coghill. For a short time, Senator Stedman was here. I expect he'll be back. And this is Senator Giesel. So we will go on now. As I said, our next LIO is at the Matt Sue, Michael Foster, and then we will go up to, on my list, it's actually down, to Homer, where Brad Faulkner is waiting. So first, Michael Foster, welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is Michael Foster, and I'm here today to testify about the Frontier Basin tax credits, which is part of the Senate bill. As many of you know, I'm originally from the Copper River Basin area and continue to have strong ties to that region. The Copper River Basin area, like many places in Alaska, need reliable and affordable energy. As you know, ATNA is trying to do this by exploring for natural gas within the basin. One of my companies, North Star Trucking, is currently working for ATNA on the Tolsona No. 1 natural gas exploration well. We have 14 employees on site and another 4 employees supporting that project. They're all Alaskans. They all support families in Anchorage, Wausau, and Glen Allen. If it wasn't for this project, these employees wouldn't be currently employed. It is exactly these type of projects that the state also needs to support. These are Alaskan projects for Alaskan workers. If not for the current tax credits, this project would not be going forward. The risk of exploring in areas like the Copper River Basin is high. This is not Prudhoe Bay or Cook Inlet. There are a lot of unknowns, and there is little infrastructure available to support these exploration projects. This type of project provides jobs when jobs are so desperately needed, new energy sources for areas that rely primarily on diesel fuel, and supports the local economy. I strongly support and urge the committee to support extending the Frontier Basin tax credits to the year 2022 and help companies like ATNA investigate underexplored areas in locations that they don't have infrastructure and energy for the supporting population. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Foster. I want to welcome Senator Wilikowski, who has joined the committee. I also want to point out that Deputy Commissioner of Revenue, Jerry Burnett, is in the room listening. So folks that are testifying, just let you know that. So we are moving now to the Homer LIO. After that, we'll go to the off-net. Mr. Brendan Hopkins is on the off-net. But first, Brad Faulkner in Homer. Welcome, Mr. Faulkner.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Brad Faulkner. I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I've worked in and out of the oil industry and the fishing industry my whole life. I support SB 130 for a number of reasons. Right outside my house is an oil rig tied to the dock that just came over from Asia. 100% of the people on that oil rig are from Louisiana. So the tax credits, as far as I can see them, are not a jobs bill because we're not giving the jobs to Alaskans. There's quite a bit of seismic work going on near Anchor Point right now. There's about 100 people on that crew. There was 5 Alaskans on the crew. So this isn't a jobs bill. Cook Inlet tax credits, we're paying up to 65%. At best, many years down the road, if they discover oil, you're going to get 12.5%. It's just not a good deal. Production tax credits on the North Slope, which are an entirely different deal, is we're taxing on the net, and then we're rebating on the gross. It doesn't take a rocket science to figure out this is not a good deal for the state. I don't think it's done anything to increase production. Production isn't going to go up until the price of oil goes up. So, just to wrap up quickly, I support the bill. I don't think that the tax that we should be paying the oil companies to take our oil. And when you add up property taxes, production taxes, and everything else right now, we're actually paying them to take our oil. Some of the previous speakers have said that the main money from the state is coming from oil, and that's just not true. It's coming from our investment accounts. Failure to act last year, and again this year, will cost us in foregone interest. It's about 50% of what the state wants to impose on an income tax. So the time to act is now, and we need to get rid of the tax credits as they're currently written. And thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Faulkner. Let's see. So next we're going to go to the off-net. Brendan Hopkins is on the off-net. From there, we will go back to Anchorage, where John Sturgeon will be waiting. So, Mr. Hopkins, welcome.
Yes, thank you for taking my call and allowing me the opportunity to testify here today. I apologize if the connection may cut out. I'm calling from the north slope of Alaska. Like many of the other callers, is a lifelong Alaskan. I'd like to keep it that way. Thankfully, I'm currently employed for a well-run company. In the past couple of years, I've had to take a significant cut in my income as a result of the environment and business needs. That's been tough, but again, I'm happy to work for a well-run company. Let's see. You know, one of the things that I'd like to point out, as I'm sure some of the other callers have, is that the budget of the state has increased significantly. If you look at the budget in 2000, it was roughly $2 billion. Now, I believe it was just passed by the House, $8.6 billion. That's a significant increase. I don't have the solutions. There's a lot of detail in the bill. But there needs to be a balanced approach that hits on all angles of this difficult problem that we're facing. I do agree that we need to act now. the success story that's occurred in the Cook Inlet over the last several years of increased production, increased jobs, that was in large part due to some of the credits that were put in place by the state. If we want to repeat the situation of companies shutting down and job loss, taking those credits away is the first step. Obviously, there's this commodity business has fluctuations. It's not going to prevent a bad situation from occurring, but by passing the Senate bill, it could certainly make it worse. And another point I'd like to point out there is that the Article 8 of the Constitution, maximizing the benefit for the people, I agree with that wholeheartedly, but I would ask you to look at it through a different lens. The maximum benefit should not be measured in purely the revenue or the bank account size, but the number of residents that have a warm house, food on the table, and a good job. So, anyways, thank you for your time. I appreciate all the hard work you all are doing down there. And thank you.
Mr. Hopkins, thank you for taking the time to call in. You mentioned that you're a lifelong Alaskan. You're calling in from the North Slope. Where do you live in Alaska when you're not on the slope?
I currently reside in the Kenai Peninsula.
Great. So you travel all that distance for work. That's quite a sacrifice, and thanks for doing it.
Yep. Thank you. I appreciate your time.
So next we move to the Anchorage LIO. Mr. John Sturgeon is waiting there. After that, we'll go back to Fairbanks. Jim Plaquette is there. I'm pretty sure I butchered that last name. Sorry, Jim. I always forget how to pronounce your name. But anyway, back to Anchorage. John Sturgeon. Welcome, Mr. Sturgeon.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I oppose Senate Bill 130 and any new tax on the oil industry. Everyone is very concerned about the state's deficit, which is a good thing, and a lot is being done to resolve that issue. However, we still need an economy after we solve the fiscal cliff problem. We need to have a strong economy for the future of our children and grandchildren. A lot of people used to always say that, and I used to kind of pass it by, but I have grandchildren now and children here, and I want them to stay in Alaska, and we have to have an economy to do that. So that's become much, much more important to me personally, that we do have a good economy. Taxing our industries excessively and unpredictably is not the way to do that to keep industries in Alaska and keep our economy strong. I run the largest timber operation in the state of Alaska, and I can't imagine how I would run that logging operation if our taxes were as high and unpredictable as the oil industries. Oil industry is looking at a tax about every other year, which is would be extremely difficult to do business. I can't imagine how I would do business that way. In conclusion, again, like I say, I oppose Senate Bill 130 and any new tax in the oil industry. I appreciate the opportunity to testify, and I'd like to thank all you folks for all your hard work down there in Juneau. I know it's a really tough time, and makes it even more. We have good people like you folks down there. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Sturgeon. I also neglected to mention that several folks ago, Senator Stoltz joined us, so if you're keeping count, you've got another senator listening in also. So now we're going to Fairbanks, where Jim Plaquette is waiting to speak. After that, we will go, so you can stand by, in Anchorage, where Kathy Dewberry is waiting. So, Jim Plaquette.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson and committee members. My name is Jim Plaquette. I've lived in Fairbanks 42 years. I'm also a 42-year member of the International Union of Operating Engineers, Local 302, and I oppose SB 130. Alaskans voted for more oil production when Alaskans voted to reject ballot measure 1 in 2014. Since then, the oil industry has invested $5 billion and stabilized full rates through the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. We don't need to change the oil tax policy again. SB 130 would mark the sixth major tax change in 11 years. Alaska does not need to keep changing its tax system. We need a stable tax system. Alaska needs investment to achieve more throughput in the pipeline. Changing the tax credits, Alaska might miss an opportunity for an oil project in the future that will create jobs for Alaskans and more oil in the pipe. Oil prices will rise again, and when they do rise, Alaska will be competing with shale oil in the lower 48. Alaska is an expensive place to do business, and changing tax policy frequently does not help us attract investment dollars. Are we sending a message to Alaska's largest investors and taxpayers that Alaska is open for business? SB 21 has increased production through the Trans-Alaska Pipeline to 1% compared to a decline average of 6.6% a year under ACES. Now is the time to keep Alaska competitive and open for business by maintaining a tax policy that's stable and balanced. Alaska needs to promote investment and development and more jobs for Alaskans. Thank you for letting me testify.
Thank you very much, Mr. Plaquette, for your testimony. So next we'll go back up to Anchorage. Kathy Dewberry is on the line wanting to speak. Then we'll go back to Fairbanks where James McMillan is waiting. So, Kathy, welcome.
Hi, Kathy Duxbury. I live here in Anchorage, and I work in oil and gas, and my husband is public servant at Sun and Construction. Every time we turn around, we're on the phone testifying to Juneau, begging them not to change the tax structure of oil and gas. I'm very much opposed to Senate Bill 130. Higher taxes only discourages investment. If we spend as much time worrying about how we would increase throughput in the pipeline as opposed to increasing the taxes on the oil and gas industry, the very industry that gave us all the PFD, all the earnings, and everything that we've gotten over the years, just imagine where we would be. But every year, it's the same old story. The voters go, we vote on something, and then as soon as you get to Juneau, you change the tax structure. I just want to encourage you to make it something stable that people can count on. The public sector, the private sector is out here holding our breath every day wondering which job's going to go next, what pay cut's going to come next, and it's just going to get worse and worse as you tax the industry more and more. There's been so many changes in the tax stuff to the oil and gas industry, you can't even keep track of it all. So I would just like to encourage you to just let it be and use the earnings from the PFD. That's what it was there for to begin with. It was never set up to just hand out to people. It was set up to help the economy and to make things on a more even keel. And Why don't you get with private sector, get with oil and gas, and sit down and figure out a plan that everybody can live with to move this economy forward? It's really hard on us out here wondering what's going to happen next. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. We'll go then to Fairbanks. James McMillan is waiting. Then we'll go back to Anchorage, where Dave Hansen is waiting. James, welcome.
Hi, my name is James McMillan. I'm a 30-year resident of Fairbanks, Alaska. I'm currently a business rep for Teamsters Local 959. Thank you, Chairperson Giesel, and members of the Senate Resource Committee today for giving me the opportunity to testify. Teamsters Local 959 is a union with over 5,000 members. We represent members in a wide variety of industries, from members at Yucabeli Coal Mine, workers on the North Slope, the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, Port of Anchorage, AT&T, UPS, Linden, Weaver Brothers, Alaska Frontier Constructors, Doyon Associated are just a few of the companies our members work for. I'm here to give our perspective on SB 130. We understand the challenges that face Alaska, that the governor and the legislature are dealing with, a financial crisis that is upon our great state. We understand that tough decisions need to be made, and we support the governor and the legislature in reducing the operating budget, using some of the earnings from the permanent fund to help balance the budget, and instituting some new taxes. We are concerned with the governor's plan to change the oil and tax structure. Since SB 21 passed, the oil industry has invested more into Alaska projects like CB5 and Sharktooth that have put hundreds of Alaskans to work, more oil in the pipeline, and billions of dollars into our economy. Increasing oil taxes and reducing credits that encourage investment at a time when the industry is struggling sends the wrong message. We must maintain a healthy oil and gas industry in Alaska if we want to keep oil flowing through the pipeline and keep alive the prospect of a gas line. Thanks for letting me testify.
Thank you very much for your testimony, Mr. Hansen. Next in Anchorage is Kate Blair, waiting to testify. And
excuse me, Madam Chair.
Pardon me.
It was James McMillan just now.
Oh, pardon me. My mistake. Thank you. So that was Mr. McMillan. Sorry, we're going now to the Anchorage LAO. Dave Hansen and Kate Blair will be after him. Sorry about that. Welcome, Mr. Hansen.
Thank you, Chairpersons Giesel and Costello. My name is Dave Hansen. I'm a 40-year Alaskan resident and a fiscal conservative. I have the greatest respect for the oil industry and think the last 40 years are an amazing success story for that industry. However, the situation of the crash in oil prices is no one's fault, and we're all in it together, and we're trying to struggle to figure out a way to make this work within our budget constraints. We cannot afford the existing oil production tax credit program as written. In FY213, the program costs $54 million. By FY217, it will cost $825 million, or over one-fifth of our budget. The tax division says program costs are headed toward $1 billion to $1.5 billion a year. Who's going to pay for it? The tax credit program made great sense when oil prices were high and oil production taxes were being paid. With oil priced in the $30 to $50 range and no production taxes paid on oil priced below $73 a barrel, the program doesn't make sense. The Blue Crest representative in the newspaper said we would get back our tax credit money through oil royalty payments. Excuse me. Royalty payments are what oil companies pay us for our oil, and the amount we receive should not be discounted to make up for our tax credit program that's related to the production tax. The credits program is also not the most effective way to increase oil production. Some credit money has helped produce oil, some has helped efforts that didn't work out, and some has been used to bail out companies from bankruptcy. It's time to work together and think a little differently. It's time to be creative. I would like to suggest a three-point plan that will be sustainable and serve the interests of both the oil companies and the people of Alaska. One, use part of the governor's generous SB 130 to pay for credits used through FY16, even though the credits were subject to appropriation and not guaranteed. that we need to follow through on them. Two, use Senator Stedman's approach beginning in FY17 and eliminate oil production taxes and credits until the price of oil reaches $73 a barrel and there can be more of a balance. Three, expand the ADA direct loan program so that all credible oil company efforts can get financing at a reasonable price during these tough times. A loan program, of course, also would be like a house loan in that it would be accountable, though still confidential, and looked at as far as its reality in moving forward in a constructive way. Committee members, it's all of our jobs to be concerned about the oil industry, but also be concerned about and represent all the people of Alaska. I thank you for considering these ideas.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Hansen. So next to Kate Blair, who is there in Anchorage, and she'll be followed by Marliana Hall. Welcome, Ms. Blair.
Thank you. Good afternoon, Madam Chairperson and committee members. For the record, my name is Kate Blair, and I'm here testifying today on behalf of myself and my family about my 8-year-old with me. My husband and I moved here to Alaska 10 years ago, and we quickly learned what an important and interesting relationship the oil industry has with the state. And in our time here, we've had 2 children, we've switched jobs, and we've planted roots. We're active in our parish, we serve on nonprofit boards, we're members of Rotary, and now we volunteer at our children's school. We are invested in this state. We made it our permanent homes and want to stay here. And for the past 2 years, I work in the oil and gas industry, and my husband's a police officer here in Anchorage. And we are acutely aware of the state's budget shortfall, but we are also very aware of the effect the low price of oil has on the private industry. We've seen oil companies make some very tough decisions, layoffs, project or drilling delays, companies starting to leave the state. And these all affect families just like ours and just like yours. Can you imagine buying a house and then having the mortgage company find out that you got a raise and asking to raise your rate? And then less than 2 years later, they are in the red, so they try to raise your rate again. Would you want to get a mortgage company from them and make your life's largest investment with that company? That's what the state is asking. For more than 40 years, oil has paid 85% of our bills. Still now, it pays more than 60% of our bills. And now we're hearing that everyone has to give, including the oil industry. When the oil industry is in the red, cash flow negative right now, they've paid the bills for years, built infrastructure across the state, donated to communities, universities, nonprofits, schools, built buildings, held road races. Now the state is going to ask for another pound of flesh. How long would you keep working if your wages were subject to 100% government take? The credits aren't a subsidy. Those companies come to the state of Alaska. They spend money, they hire workers, they invest in their projects, and then years later get a portion of those payments returned to them. A raise on oil taxes or a cut in credits will force companies to take that money from either capital spend, which will jeopardize production, or operating spend, which will jeopardize even more jobs. And in a state that has energy security issues in the most rural areas, I do not understand why you would even consider cutting Cook Inlet tax credits and sending the Mat-Su, Anchorage, and Kenai Peninsula boroughs back to the energy shortages of 2009. Please remember that when we talk about the oil industry, we're not talking about buildings. We are talking about families just like ours and yours that work here, volunteer at schools, are people that go to your same church. So I support the state reducing their operating budget using the permanent fund, and I could even support a broad-based tax. But I will not support going back to a single industry year after year when prices go up or prices go down. Please listen to the will of the people who voted to keep Senate Bill 21 in place and make no further changes to the oil tax system. Let's not turn this fiscal crisis into an economic crisis. We want companies to continue to invest their money here to hire Alaskans, for Alaska's future, and for our own family's future. Thank you for your time today.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Blair. Next up is Marliana Hall. She'll be followed by Scott Hawkins. Welcome, Ms. Hall.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Marliana Hall. and I'm the Executive Director of the Resource Development Council. RDC is a statewide trade association comprised of individuals and companies from Alaska oil and gas, mining, forest products, fisheries, and tourism industries. My members are truly the lifeblood of Alaska's economy, and we believe the best approach to expand the economy and generate new revenues for the state is to produce more oil, attract more tourists, harvest more fish, and mine more minerals. With regard to Senate Bill 130, raising taxes on companies that are reporting record losses and are in negative cash flow is not sound fiscal policy. Increasing taxes on our natural resource industries will not only increase production for the Trans-Alaska Pipeline, it will not encourage the development of new mines in Alaska, it will not attract more tourists, and it will not increase investment in the fishing industry. Higher taxes in this low-priced commodity environment will likely deter investment and lead to lower state revenues and a weaker private sector over the long run. The oil industry is struggling with low prices and tight capital markets. Companies are cutting budgets and making tough investment decisions. Increasing taxes on the industry at this time will jeopardize new investment, further damaging our private sector economy. Changing the tax regime now will make a bad situation worse. And as you heard earlier, a release issued last week by the Alaska Oil and Gas Association announced more proof of the current tax regime working. It said, public data provided by the state of Alaska shows an almost 1% increase of year-over-year oil production during the past 12 months. We need to incentivize something to get more of it. We need to incentivize the industry to drill more, create more wealth, create more activity, and aim for the next year's production to be even higher than this year's. The current tax policy has brought new exploration, jobs, and continued investment to the state. It has stabilized most of the production and has somewhat shielded Alaska from the massive cutbacks that have occurred elsewhere. The oil industry is truly the foundation of Alaska's economy, and keeping it strong is key to sustaining the private sector, Alaskan jobs, state government, and the overall economy. Conversely, this bill moves us in the wrong direction. It would represent the sixth major change in Alaska in the last 11 years. My members are not asking for a tax decrease during this time of low commodity prices like other states and countries are considering, but we do request that as the state considers changes to tax policy, it would do no harm to the state's largest industry. Madam Chair and members of the Senate Research Committee, I thank you for the opportunity to offer RDC's perspective on Senate Bill 130 today and I urge you to reject this legislation.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, there still at the Anchorage LIO is Scott Hawkins. He'll be followed by Curtis Thayer. Mr. Hawkins, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Scott Hawkins. I'm representing Advanced Supply Chain International, my company that I co-founded 17 years ago this month. And I'm a 33-year resident of Anchorage. I'm here today to speak against Senate Bill 130, at least in its current form. And there's really three kind of key reasons for that. First, my background includes a stint of about 8 years in economic development. And I came away from that experience with firsthand knowledge of the importance of incentives and how incentives matter in encouraging investment. When we wrote the development agreement for the FedEx Cargo Hub, it included incentives to reduce some of the disadvantages that Anchorage had at that time. When we wrote the development agreement for the Alyeska Resort in Girdwood, it included investments from the state in water and wastewater infrastructure. So incentives do matter, and even closer to this issue, the history of Cook Inlet is a perfect case in point. 8 years ago, South Central Alaska was practicing for brownouts due to a shortage of available gas, declining gas production. And then the legislature wisely adopted a package of incentives for Cook Inlet, and lo and behold, production turned around, and it has become a tremendous success story. So incentives do matter. Incentives do work. There's an old principle in economics. There's probably nothing more fundamental that if you want more of something, incentivize it. If you want less of something, raise taxes on it. So that's reason number one. Reason number two is that we desperately need to stabilize our tax policy. We, over the past 10 10 years have had about 5 different changes in tax policy. And that's, you know, that many changes in that period of time is, looks more like a banana republic than a mature, stable, taxing jurisdiction. The stability is extremely important, and strengthening that point even further is that Alaskans at the ballot box voted for the current tax policy. Alaskans were presented with a choice of voting for production, a tax environment that stimulates production, or voting for, or overturning it and going back to one that did less so. So the voters spoke very clearly on that issue, and it would be, I think, in many ways disrespectful to substantially modify that policy that the voters have ratified. So, and thirdly, I would like to point out that increasing taxes on oil and gas at a time like this would be going in exactly the opposite direction. My company is an oil field services company. We're down 20%, and have had to cut about 20% of our workforce over the past 18 months. We are looking at about another 20% over the next 12 months. Many other companies have had similar experiences, and in fact, we are probably one of the lucky ones out there. So the industry is making the hard decisions. By contrast, the state government does not appear to be making similarly tough decisions. The budget is going in the right direction, but it's not decisive. It's not nearly as much as it needs to be in terms of reductions and adopting a sustainable spending pattern.
Mr. Hawkins, if you could wrap up, please.
Okay. So, in summary, for those reasons, I would really encourage you to not move Senate Bill 130 in its current form. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Next there at the Anchorage LIO is Curtis Thayer. Then we're going to go to the off-net where there are a couple folks waiting. The first one will be Tom Lackish. Mr. Thayer, welcome.
Thank you, and good afternoon. For the record, my name is Curtis Thayer, and I serve as the President and CEO of the Alaska Chamber of Commerce. We represent, has over 700 members across the state and represents well over tens of thousands of employees. We oppose SB 130, and I urge you to avoid changing any current tax policy at this time. As we've looked, and many people have said, we've changed tax policy 6 out of the last 11 times. Actually, going back in history, we've changed tax policy over 30 times since oil was first discovered in 1969 on the North Slope. It was not long ago that here in South Central Alaska, we were threatened with brownouts for the lack of natural gas. We only had 2 players in Cook Inlet, and they weren't explorers. They were harvesters. They have since left, and when the state partnered and put incentives in place, we have multiple new partners drilling for natural gas and oil here in Cook Inlet. And now we have the natural gas delivered to Homer. We have a more stable supply that's delivered to Fairbanks Natural Gas now out of the Cook Inlet. And so we've seen additional drilling in South Central. We've seen more jobs. We've actually even seen 2 new power plants, gas-fired, come online here in South Central because the natural gas is available. And now when you look to the North Slope, when SB 21 passed and the voters reaffirmed that piece of legislation, what do we have? We have new players in the North Slope. We have new fields being discovered. We have more people working on the North Slope. We're taking in more money in the New Slope because of this. Right now we have 1 independent sending on a field that could be the 2nd largest on the North Slope. Those are new players that lower taxes in a stable tax environment will bring with you. And if we continue to change it, they will leave. They will go where they can get a better return on their investment. And we need to invest in our future. We need to continue to partner with the industry and provide a stable tax environment. We've got to not look to them every time when prices are high, we want more. When the prices are less, we want more. Another issue that I think we as a state need to look at, and that is we need to look at how we manage our money. The oil industry has provided the state of Alaska, through its tax policy, over $140 billion since 1969. And what have we done with that? We've asked for more, more, and more, no matter what the price is. One thing, and when we say more, Look at the size of our state government. We laid off 38 employees last year, and I think it's going to be 70 this year, and we have almost 16,000 employees. We also need to look at the endowment model to look to see if there's a possibility of helping closing this gap with some of the earnings of the permanent fund. And a very last resort, and after only the first two are done, should we look at our tax policy, whether it be a broad base, or should we look to industry? But right now is not the time to look to the oil industry, once again, to help pay our bills where we have just continued to overspend as a state. And with that, I thank you for your time. I thank you for allowing us to testify. And I know it's a gorgeous day in Juneau, and I know that you'd probably prefer to be somewhere else than in a hearing room. But, again, thank you very much for all your work.
Thank you for your testimony and empathy, Mr. Thayer. So now we'll go to the off-net. Tom Lackish is there. He'll be followed by Faith Martineau. So, Tom, welcome.
Thank you very much, Chairwoman Giesel. I appreciate this opportunity to testify. And I noticed your impassioned speech on the Senate floor, special orders, complaining of the loss of oil company jobs. Unfortunately, I think that this bill doesn't go far enough in cutting tax credits, because those jobs you'd like to save are costing us hundreds of thousands of dollars, and if you were to pay everybody on unemployment that amount, we'd be broke in no time. Supporting jobs in the oil industry means that not only do you have, in order to keep an Alaska job, you got to pay every oil company executive off, you got to pay all of their shareholders off, and those people who have jobs aren't entitled to unemployment and hundreds of thousands of dollars, or even exceeding $1 million in state subsidy per job. We surely can't subsidize an industry to extract oil that doesn't return the maximum benefit to the Alaska people. If we can't get a good price for our oil, then we have to leave it in the ground until the oil price increases. This Alaska Dispatch today had a story saying that we will essentially be offsetting all of our royalties and production tax with the tax credits we're paying next year. We simply cannot give our oil away and subsidize oil company jobs at that rate. It is just not economically possible, and I don't know who you're working for, but surely you have to look to your constitutional obligation to obtain the maximum benefit from our natural resources, and that means leaving it in the ground for the time being and ensuring that we sustain our Alaskan economy with the diversified investments in the Alaska Permanent Fund. The Alaska Permanent Fund is here to stabilize our resources, but not by taking it from people, but by allowing them to spend it and then taxing the income to businesses in Alaska that will gain benefit from that distribution of the permanent fund through the economy, not before it reaches the economy. So I appreciate your efforts to try and get some cut in the production tax credits at SB 130, but it doesn't go far enough, and I request you retain it in committee until there is a return on the sale of our oil that is reasonable, and it's clearly not to give it away to the oil industry. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Lackish, you failed to identify yourself for the record. Could you please do that for the record?
Surely. My name is Tom Lackish, L-A-K-O-S-H. I'm testifying on behalf of myself. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So followed by Faith Martineau. And then after Faith, we'll go back to the Anchorage LIO where Jeremy Price is waiting. Faith, welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair and other members of the Senate Resources Committee, my name is Faith Martineau, and I have worked in Alaska's oil industry for over a year now. I'm calling to voice my opposition to SB 130. Madam Chair, during yesterday afternoon's hearing, you'd indicated that members of the legislature ask three questions when making a policy decision. I'd like to very quickly address those questions regarding this harmful piece of legislation, which I realize did not originate from the Alaska legislature, but which you have been asked to consider. First, How would SB 130 affect Alaska families? The governor's tax proposal hurts my family because it hurts my employment. The company that I work for, Kalis Energy, came to Alaska because of the benefits offered by SB 21, benefits that are retroactively revoked under SB 130. As you're aware, Kalis just announced a 25% reduction in force. In order for Kalis to return to its current staffing levels, the upturn in oil prices would have to be significantly higher with SB 130 in place than if managers were making operational decisions under today's system. Because of this, my husband and I have begun to discuss whether or not it is realistic for our family to stay in Alaska, which has been my home for 13 years. Next, how would SB 130 affect Alaska businesses? For one, the bill represents yet another change in a jurisdiction recognized as one of the most unpredictable in the world for how it taxes oil and gas. Consider the advancements that businesses have made under the existing tax regime. SB 21 benefits Alaska's primary industry and our economy by attracting investment, allowing the system that is currently in place to work, especially in a time of crisis, will show that Alaska can have a stable fiscal regime. The state's consultant Analytica previously testified that stability is the most important element in any legal system to fostering steady investment and healthy businesses. Finally, how would SB 130 affect Alaska jobs? I've never personally known so many people who have lost their jobs since commodity prices have plunged. Both organizations and communities suffer in the face of layoffs. The proposed bill would increase taxes on an industry that already contributes more to unrestricted general fund revenue than any other industry. Because more than one-third of Alaska's jobs are tied to oil and gas, those additional taxes represent dollars that can't then be spent creating jobs through exploration, development, or production. I suggest that the committee resist the calls to action for action's sake. I and your other constituents have previously affirmed that SB 21 represents a fair approach. The governor's tax proposal is an unnecessary change from that system and would genuinely harm Alaska families, Alaska businesses, and Alaska jobs. Please consider what is truly best for Alaska in the long term and oppose SB 130.
Thank you for your testimony, Ms. Martineau.
Thank you.
Let's see. So next we're going to go to the Anchorage, back to the Anchorage LIO where Jeremy Price has signed in. Mr. Price, welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This afternoon I'm going to speak on behalf of myself. Though in full disclosure, I am the State Director of Americans for Prosperity. One thing is clear about this legislation. It is a tax increase on the oil and gas industry, and that is an industry that is losing money. I have a question for the committee to consider. If the commercial fishing industry was cash flow negative, would you raise taxes on it? And what about the timber industry? That's all but been driven into the ground because of environmental policy. But would you consider raising taxes on that industry? The answer is no. So why are we considering it now? I believe it is because public perception is that big oil can afford it. The legislature, I believe, and the governor would never think of raising taxes on any other industry in this type of a low-price environment, which is ironic since this is the one industry that pays for most of our state services. And these state services are so sacred, they cannot be eliminated. At least that's the message that we hear in the press and in the public domain. We've all seen the layoffs. Even without this legislation, layoffs are occurring as recently as yesterday, as we've heard. When yesterday's layoffs were announced, the governor said, quote, we have to do what's in our best interest, end quote. Our best interest. Okay, let's consider our best interest. Will this legislation increase production? Will it increase jobs? Will it provide certainty and predictability in the private sector? If the answer is no to all of these questions, then this is not in our best interest. Don't pass something that has short-term gain with long-term repercussions. If you were unaware, I was raised in the interior. I grew up with a family that owned a small business, and some of the work that we did was for Flint Hills Resources. My oldest brother worked for Flint Hills as well. No one thought that refinery would close down. No one thought that Flint Hills would leave. But with a combination of bad economic conditions and poor public policy drove that refinery into the ground, and now it is going to be sold for scrap metal. My brother once said that this safety, strength of the golden goose. I would ask that you don't do the same with the oil and gas industry. I think an experience that I thought about recently was, as I said, a grip in Salcha. One time we were snow machining up the Salcha River, 30 miles, and I found myself laying on my back in the ice, dark, pitch black, couldn't see, and my snow machine was in a tangled mess about 10 feet from me. And as I lay there thinking, I reflected back on a conversation that I had with my father not 10 minutes before. 10 minutes ago, my dad said, "Go slow, we can't see what's in front of us." And sure enough, I was going too fast under the open stretch of water and I wrecked. The theme here is, we don't need to rush this. Look, slow this down. And I encourage the committee, take this slow. Don't do something we're going to regret in the long term. Thanks for your time, Madam Chair.
Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Price. Mr. Price, could you repeat, you didn't yourself verbalize your name and who you were speaking for. So if you would do that, please.
My name is Jeremy Price, and I'm speaking for myself today.
All right. Thank you. Senator Wilikowski has a question.
Yeah. Does Alaskans for Prosperity believe we should decrease oil taxes?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Does Alaskans for Prosperity believe we should decrease oil taxes?
No.
Thank you.
Should we reduce oil taxes? Clarify, I guess. What do you mean by that question?
Do you believe we would be better off reducing oil taxes, cutting oil taxes?
Yes, I believe the oil tax burden, as in with any other industry, should be stable and low and predictable.
So just to
thank you, Mr. Price.
You think we should reduce oil taxes?
Yes, I think that we should reduce the amount of taxes that the oil industry pays.
Thank you.
That concludes the folks that have signed in to testify. Is there anyone else in the room that wishes to testify on Senate Bill 130? Seeing none, is there anyone else online, Matt? There's no one else online. I will close public testimony. So with that concludes our agenda for this afternoon's meeting. Our next meeting will be Monday, April 11th. We will adjourn at this time. The time is 3:55 p.m. Thank you.